I'm ready to go to work. You ready? All right. It's cold enough in here. Is it the North Pole? I receive. I just received a great testimony, 3 pages. A great testimony of a man who had, as Donnell, is Crohn disease. That thing that eats your body, start eating your body, don't it? I'm saying it right?
Yes.
Yeah, he just got delivered from me. He was off his medicine for 18 months. And when I first started teaching on health, he got on it. And then when I went to Hallelujah Diet, he was still with me. Went to Francis Ramel, he was still with me. And so he had kept going to the restroom. At lunch, when he sat down at work, he'd get up during the restroom time, he had to go to the restroom. And at home, when he was eating dinner, his wife kept telling him, that's strange, you gotta get up. He went to the restroom just at dinner time. And I started teaching, he started listening. He had to be, he had an operation. They found a hole in his bowel, and they got that straight. But it wasn't, the thing kept bothering him. So he changed his whole eating habit. He bought all the books and started following instruction, and he's totally healed. And so when he went for his first x-ray, the doctor said, they didn't send him no record on it. You know, it's puzzling when the doctor, so the doctor didn't send no record. So he went to the second one, and he told the doctor, he said, now the first time I didn't see nothing. He said, well, let's look at it together. And when they put it on the computer, they couldn't find no sign of no disease at all. And he said, well, the Lord healed me. The doctor said, no, the medicine did it. But listen what happened. The doctor didn't know he'd been off the medicine for 18 months. It's powerful, man. It's powerful. So God, grace be upon us tonight, those of here or here in the class, all the instructors and all the students and all who with us by internet and in the room. May we see, may we hear, may we understand. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. One of the characteristics of an apostle or apostolic ministry, they are called master builders. Master builders. We're going to find out that word mean architect. All right. But I know I may have asked you these questions, but I have to get them down in your notes because I think that I grasped these questions when I was studying for these classes. I asked, why is there a jungle of disagreement in the body of Christ? A jungle of disagreement. In other words, it seems like we never can come civilized in the spirit. And what is causing all the immoral failure in the pulpit and in the body of Christ, in ministers as well as followers? And then I don't know if you grasp this question, because this lesson gonna answer it. How can we correct the massive imitators coming among the church? Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? And then you must know this, there's a way to have a blessed ministry in the midst of messy time. There's a way to have a blessed ministry in the midst of messy time. I also said, number 5, this lesson will teach you as a minister to function in grace acceleration. Grace acceleration. I coined that in my spirit. Grace acceleration. And then I used something else about grace. I said, how to build your ministry with proper grace on it and on it. A grace foundation and a grace covering is so important, because Paul, you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, the Apostle Paul reveals there and in many other cases that his ministry, listen to what I'm about to say now, was grace-based. Yeah, his trust was not in himself, but his trust was in Jesus Christ and what he had done. Yes, so you must, if you don't learn nothing else from this school, leave this school knowing you will have to have a grace base. In other words, the favor of God. The favor of God is expensive, and it is more valuable than any other thing you can have. So you see Paul, what he said here in 1 Corinthians 3:10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, see, it's a grace, as a wise master builder, as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. And then he said in the 11th verse, for no other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So gracefully, the foundation we'll land is Jesus Christ. God, this air is too cold. Not for me, but I see some of these ladies, they got enough. And you can't learn it early in my ministry. If you're pushing too hot or too cold, you're preaching in vain. I know. So the lesson tonight is describing the Apostle Paul and what an apostle is supposed to be, as an architect. And it's sad when you try to build without an architect. Yes, sir. You might get it up, but it's not going to last long because the foundation is not right. And Ephesians 2:20 is another powerful verse. I want you to look at it. The word said that the church is built up on the foundation. That word foundation is very important. I'm going to say it 9 or 10 ways. Foundation of the apostle and prophet. And Jesus Christ, him being the chief cornerstone. Foundation class. And that's what I've seen. I've seen churches and ministers try to come up. They have no foundation. They have no fathering. They have no foundation. And here's a key to the aspect of to build or building. It means, I'm going to give you some words. May have given them to you, but I'm going to give them to you again. Did I give you these words? Construct. Did you get those words? Construct, assemble. Did you get it? What the other one is? What? Mold. Okay, what else? Classic, y'all got them. Form, create, y'all got those words? And erect by following the what? All right, okay, all right. I'm going over it again. Let me read this to you. It's important to understand when a building is constructed, the foundation that the structure rests upon must be stable and able to withstand the total weight of the building. It's very, very important. Now, I want you to think both. I know you think physically, you think about this building, but I want you to think about building a ministry. So that's whatever you see natural, it came out of the spirit world. I mean, like they had to lay a foundation 27 years ago for this building. But the ministry has to lay a proper spiritual foundation that when the wind blow and the storm come and the rain fall, it still stands. Matthew 7, the last 4 or 5 verses. As also in Luke 10, I think, where that woman was sitting down listening at the word while the other one was busy trying to build her ministry. By serving a lot. You build a ministry by not much work. You build a ministry by listening at the word of God. Them two sisters, you remember them two sisters? Huh? Jesus said, what she got, I can't take it from her. You can't take it either. And you have to get in a point where you don't be worried about who's who. Just keep building. Just keep doing what God said do. And your confidence is not in man. Your confidence is not in who gonna stay and who gonna leave. You got the foundation down so much it doesn't matter. You need to hear that. You need to hear that because Jeremiah 17:5 said they had put a trust in man. Not going to even see when good coming. Your trust has to, and then in third Proverbs said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. That you need to have that in ministry. Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. I've seen the strategists in ministry. I've seen men who had taken worldly strategies and tried to work it in the church. But you need weakness in the church. You need to recognize your weakness. Paul said, when I'm weak, then am I strong. You can't be all strong all the time. You got to know how to lean, depend, trust, rely on. Yeah, you don't worry about looking bad. You can't look bad. You got a props on you. God taking care of you. Are you following me? So you don't have to be all smart. You have to know how to yield to the Spirit of God. So here we say it's important to understand when a building is constructed or when a ministry is constructed, the foundation that the structure of the ministry rests upon must be stable. Yes. And able to withstand the total weight of the building.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So ministry calls for a vision from God. If you don't have a vision from God, God didn't call you to preach.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. See, that's why he said, write it, make it plain. Look at my eyes on the board. Threefold. Look at it.
Yes, sir.
There it is right there. It's threefold. That's my vision. That's the vision he gave me. The foundation that supports the building must be solidly in place before the building goes up. You can't be making around building on no shaky foundation. You ain't got enough money to buy some funeral home fan, and you're trying to start a ministry, and the Lord, come on. Yeah. If not, the weight of the ministry or the weight of the building will crush the foundation, and the building will collapse. You see that? Let me finish reading it. Just as the foundation is important when constructing a building, so too is the foundation important when building Christ's church. Now, we got the three words for the English foundation, English word for foundation. The English word, foundation, beginning, what else? First principle. The law of repetition is so important in teaching. So all three things, foundation, beginning, and first principle. Modern ascension gifts apostle never violate the spirit and continuity of scriptures as they fulfill their go first ministry. Go first ministry. And see, we have not had the go first ministry. We have not had the apostolic wisdom, the apostolic mantle, the apostolic anointing, the apostolic insight, the apostolic pioneering spirit. that the church need, because that's the way God designed for it to operate and function.
Yes, sir.
We've had pastors trying to do everything. We tried. We've been doing the best we can. But the Lord is opening our eyes now. We're going further now. So Paul taught that it was grace of God on his life that enabled him to be a wise master builder. Listen to what he says about grace here. Grace is divine ability to do what you are called to do. And then we talk about the word master builder. We talk about master builder. Master builder in Greek is A-R-C-H-I-T-E-K-T-O-N. It sounds like architect. And from that word, we get the English word architect. So the grace of God on Apostle Paul's life gave him a ministry occupation of a wise master builder. Now let's go over that. I'll give you it says Matthew 7, 24 through 27. You got that? Luke 10, 38, 42. I'm going over some things. That's the scripture where the women were. So from the word, from the scripture in 1 Corinthians 3:10, from the above scripture, we learn a great deal about the ministry of the apostle. The word akrokron, I believe it's called, but it means architect. And then I give you a list of names. You got them too? Architect, superintendent in reckoning of building. Talk to me. Person that commences a thing. Originator, one who goes first, activator, designer, plan. Think about that. Look at that. Think about that. So it had this been missing at large in the body of Christ? Huh? I'm talking from 4 decades. Anybody in here been there longer than me? 4 decades and a half or more. I've been watching this thing. I've been to the Baptist. I've been to the full gospel. I've been to the word of faith. I've been watching this thing.
Yes, sir.
See? If you don't have an architect, you're not going to be able to build it.
That's right, Apostle.
Not proper.
That's right.
Then you have to have somebody while you're building it to supervise you. Say, no, son, don't do that. Say, I got this man who will give $16,000 to the church, but he want to have something to say every Sunday. That $16,000 look good, don't it? But you can't do that, son. Well, even an offer made to you like that, it's pulling your ministry. You're going to mess your foundation up. Pushing that commencer thing, keep it going. Originator. One who goes first. Activator, I like that. Uh-huh. A designer. You can see it. You can see it in money coming. You can see it in health coming. Pioneering out there in midair. All I got my boys and girls around, but other ministers, I don't know what they're saying. They're scared. Because now we've found out the root of sickness and disease in an anointed person.
Yes.
Not that our prayer not working. Not that our faith not working.
Yes,
you see what I'm saying?
Yes,
and so we come to know how to work with it. And then many go get healed.
Yes,
many people get healed.
Many.
See? I know from this 4 decades, all this praying I have done, everybody ought to be healed. Chicken, the cow, everybody. Everybody ought to be healed. All the praying I've done.
Yes, sir.
The author points out when we look at the vocation of modern architect, we can better relate to the work of an apostle. So we're going to look at some basic function of an architect. to relate. We talk about to give the story of a property owner wants to build a building. He look around town, hire the best architect he can find to work for him. The architect have many meetings with the owner. Now, when people believe they call, they don't want many meetings. They want a building. They sit there. They sit there and think they can catch it. No. You got to be in a position where that apostle won't give it. That's some things he have not said that you need to hear. And so they go on their own. And then you got to watch who you're building with. See, an apostle show you got some people around you, but the apostle show you watch him. See, apostle walk in the room, he with the discernment, bam, there it is. Oop, got caught. And it goes on that the building got to be survived. But it says, just like an architect, an apostle has the ability to receive and implement God's divine design for his church. He sees the finished product, the big picture, and has the ability to involve all necessary participants to complete the vision. Now, this thing been so easy to me in all the years I've been ministering. I've said to the preacher, the phone ringing, the word, I never had it. See, because it's very important. I worked and functioned at the level I was. I saw what Fred Price had, but I knew I wasn't in Fred Price category. So I came back to my little church and clapped my hand. See, you go buy something too big, put a strain on yourself, trying to prove that you're successful. You can't prove you're successful. You got to be successful. That's the proof. I tell you all the time. I was preaching with my friend, and a friend said, you got to fake it till you make it. I said, no, I ain't going with that. Been faking it long enough. I'm going to make it. All right. So now these eight things that I'm about to give you now, I pray that the Holy Spirit let me open up some things to say about the apostle. Number one, the apostle received revelation of divine strategies. Now I want you to hold divine strategy. I've seen many divine strategies from the Spirit of God. And it looked like, if you're not looking spiritually, when you receive divine strategies, they go against the whole grain of the common mind. What? The divine strategies have creative mode. Things that don't look like they exist, but he wants you to walk out trusting him. It'll work. So you're going to have some divine strategy. Very important. Lord, you imagine, Lord, give me a divine strategy. Receive, and notice how divine strategies come by one word, revelation. Revelation. He said, receive revelation of divine strategies that enable the body of Christ to fulfill the great commission of reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But that statement can go on. The divine strategy run the whole spirit realm. It's not just going out and preach the gospel, which is the great commission. We've got to do that. But if you're a pastor dealing with people in the church properly, knowing how to go in a sick room or jailhouse or whatever and have the right word and the right wisdom and the right understanding to bring comfort and to bring deliverance and to bring victory. When a person is in trouble, in sin, you got to have the right words to let them know. You can't beat them down. You got to tell them what to do to strategize themselves to come out of the mess. See? And you can't be in a big mess yourself. Because don't be telling me something work going to work for you and it ain't working, and work for you and it ain't working for me. Everybody have challenges. There's no utopia world here. So receive revelation of divine strategy that enabled the body of Christ to fulfill the great commission of reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus. I mean, you know, Jesus showed us the man was blind. Jesus put germ in his eye. But that's what the Father told him to do. Then told the man, go find a pool. How am I find it? But he told him, go look for it. Go find it. He found it. But he came back seeing, right? But it's all, now all the churches and everybody, all the other preachers, this man done put mud and spit in this man's eye. Now all the other religion was shouting and jumping because we never did that before. But when the success come, they're real quiet. So there are times in ministry you're going to have to go against the grain when God give you a word. Everybody going to say it's not going to work. Suppose Jesus would have polled during that time. I got an idea to put some mud in his eye. Jesus went to the average church and the average people, you know, I'm going to put some germ and mud in his eye, and you can't talk to him about it. That's my problem. That's what I'm preaching. You can't tell the secret. You got to do it, because somebody going to talk you out of it. There are things my family can't talk to me about. I'm gone. I do it because God told me to do it. I don't want no meeting about it. That's why we where we are today. And when I believe God had told me something, I can take the fall. I don't need to put it on nobody else. If it don't work out, I'll take the fall. You got to be willing to do that. But you got to have revelation of divine strategy with your personal life as well as with the ministry. You need to eat that. You need to eat that. You see, the divine strategy does not come without revelation. You can go on and on the way Jesus' ministry was. Jesus was listening to the Holy Spirit, you know. And he had some outstanding ministry he did because he was the chief apostle. Secondly, and I guess you can write 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 through 5 with that statement, the first one, revelation, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. When people see you walking in revelation and divine strategies, they trust you. Serve as generals and commanders, apostles, of an army of believers who have matured from childhood to sonship. Now we got a bunch of children in the church. They still, in Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6 reveal that. The inheritance cannot be inherited because of still in childhood, still in servanthood, and having come to the point where they are in sonship, joint heirs with Christ. And that has been because there's been a choking in the body of Christ. And you got Galatians 4, 6, and Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. Where you can exercise your senses to know the difference between evil and good. But then in Galatians 4, a large portion of the body of Christ are still in that chapter. Yes, sir. Wow. They haven't matured the sonship. Yes, sir. Because they know a few scriptures that have robbed them of the real revelation. Yes, sir. Serve as a general, that apostle serve as a general. Serve as generals and commanders of an army of believers who have matured from childhood to sonship, who are made ready to be sent into the harvest field of this world and to advance and establish the kingdom of God. Look, sent, advance, establish. Powerful. Sent, because they matured, you see. Yeah, matured. I've seen so many ministers go out and fail, just fail, because they wasn't matured enough. They just wanted to go out. They just some of them dead. They just want early, died early. Just won't go out. Doing good, but just won't go out. Sit and watch the spirit move, and they think a man moving. They think it's a man doing it. Ain't no man doing it. I'm not capable of doing what I do, and most men I know ain't. Ron ain't capable to do what he doing. You sat there and why say, well, I can do that. You won't sit there and you can't be a copycat in the spirit. you can't duplicate the spirit. The spirit is specially designed through different men and women. And you sat there and just think you're gonna copycat them, you can't. Here's another, number three. Teach the church the value of being interrelated and networkers. I'm going to add someone and be a team player. Yes, teach the church the value of being interrelated and networkers and make a way for apostolic, oh my God, direction, empowerment, and sending. Let me give you that again now. Listen. Teach the church the value. That's what the apostles do. Yes, sir. Teach the church the value of being interrelated and networkers and make a way for apostolic direction, empowerment, and sending. See, the apostolic direction, empowerment, and sending can't come if they're not interrelated and they're not networkers, if they're not team workers. And that's why Ephesians 4, 11 through 16 come in at. God divine order, apostle, prophet, what next? The teacher, the evangelist, pastor, and the teacher. See? For the perfection of the saint, the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ. Then a characteristic take on. True verse 13 through 16. A real characteristic take on. See, that characteristic at large is not in the body of Christ today. That characteristic of that people being interrelated, networking, team, like that army Joel had. Every man was marching in his own rank, his marching, you see. Now, nobody broke rank, that's the word. Nobody broke rank. Write that down. Nobody broke rank. That's in the second chapter of Joel. But what it takes for that? Maturity. But what go before maturity? You got to have somebody who know what they're doing to teach maturity. You got to have somebody who matured themselves. You got to have somebody who been instructed themselves, been in a class themselves, learned something themselves. I don't know how many schools I've been in. I've been under some great man, R.D. Thomas, he gone home, J.R. Williams. I've been around J.D. Land, been under Kenneth Hagin, been around Kenneth Copeland, been around Fred Pryde. Preach for old Robert. Old Robert told me, y'all better listen to this man. He knows something about money. I'm little students sitting up there. They don't know who I was, you know. They sit up there. I'm trying to tell them how to prosper. They sitting up there, you know, got color, different color skin, some of them, you know, sitting there, broke. Money don't respect no color. That's right. Absolutely. You see, I brought the man up. That's what I brought the man here for. I've heard that statement before. I heard Carlton Pearson. I know he's in trouble now, but I heard him. I preached for him. The people were bringing money to the altar. And his secretary leaned over to him and said, and not for you, no. He said, what? He said, that go with the preacher there, with him. I said, that's the way they do that. He sent it, though. But then the speaker who got up behind me, trying to be deep, I don't know nobody bring no money. Paul Collins said, no, man. I got a budget in me. You talking about nobody. You best around, you ain't gonna get no check. Because they used to call me to the meeting, I know what I was doing. I was paying everybody. The anointing I had on my life, people was giving so big, they paid every minister that was on the roster, you know. I turned them down because I said, I'm not a money monger. I'm not, I won't train the people of God how to get blessed. You see my point?
Yes, sir.
But the direction and the empowerment comes before the sending. So if somebody went and it wasn't sent, they left without the direction and the empowerment. Oh, I hope y'all can see that. Oh, they left without, they went. So the direction and the empowerment they don't have, so that ministry kapra. I can call many names right now. Some left here. And man told me, said, oh, I just need somebody to show me how to organize. I can preach. I can preach like you. I got the same anointing. I said, all right, brother. He still up there with 4 or 5 members. He ain't got no member. Another boy was singing. Spirit of God revealed he was supposed to sing next. He's right here. He was a pastor's son. The Lord exposed him. A word of knowledge come, say he's showing off and he's trying to start a ministry. Shut him down. Don't let him sing. I said, I don't need no more singing today. That's when he left the church. He exposed him. And he didn't start a little ministry. He ain't going nowhere. Unless he come get on his knee. I've had that happen. You know, I told you about the stranger coming in my driveway. My wife thought I just walking out in the yard. Man drove in the yard. I don't know the man. He got out the car. He come toward us. So I'm bracing myself because I'm the head of the house. You know, what are you coming in here for? And he got on his knee, started crying. Said, "Please forgive me. My life is a mess. I put my mouth on you, and nothing going right. Everything going wrong. And I'm not gonna get right unless you release me." I said, "Well, brother, I don't even know nothing. Get up. I got your help. Jesus' name, we release." And he left. I don't know him today. Make you laugh. Larry, my right hand man come by that, me and Larry was working on a bike. One of my motorcycles, I was finna take a ride. This guy come in the yard, I knew him. And he said, I need to talk to you. I said, "You can go ahead and say it. What you got to say?" I knew it was a money deal. And so I use the Godfather voice. Anybody ever saw the Godfather? "I'm here with all my friends trying to get ready to go have a motorcycle ride. And you come here and you never bought none of my book, never been to my ministry. And you come here and act the audacity to ask me for some money." So Larry got excited. Larry said, "Boy, you ministered." I said, "Larry, that's the Godfather, man." I was in my 50s or something before I saw the Godfather. I didn't know. I'm just a country boy. I ain't know about no Godfather. Number 4. And you can put Ephesians 3:3-5 under number 3. Possessing a willingness to entertain new possibility. New possibility. Stagnation set in the church because there is always an adventure ahead of spiritual progress. There are always a new advancement you can make in your life if you're living a spiritual life. Your life is never exhausted of how far you can go. I almost want to shout across that thing now, boy. How far you can go. It's an adventure. It's not a battle all the time. Possess a willingness to entertain new possibilities and a readiness to explore unfamiliar yet biblical practices. See, keep the Bible in it. Don't go jump up there and seeing, you know, people talking about they saw gold dust. And, you know, I was reading the book. I was following God pretty close. And then he started seeing dust, gold dust. What am I going to see gold dust for? Gold, what good gold on point in hand? What am I going to do with it? That ain't a rep. I put some gold in my pocket. But and somebody got gold teeth in them coming in their mouth. All that kind of stuff. I don't know what that for. So Ephesians 3:7-12. Possess a willingness to entertain new possibilities. Make sure you write new possibilities. Explore the unfamiliar. That's where the apostle will lead you. Now, we're doing that in health right now. Oh, yeah, we're doing it. Whether you're doing it or not, we're doing it. And the results will come. That's why I'm talking to them every Sunday on television and tell them, send in these testimonies. I need to get these testimonies. Because it's happening. It got to happen. But that's, I mean, I've had men before me lay hand. I never lay hand on men. As Oral Roberts laid, but he never taught this. He opened up a medical university. He talked about medicine and faith. See, I'm talking about food and faith. But I can't be afraid because he didn't say it. So it's unfamiliar territory, and I know they're going to be a resistance, but apostolic, I can't stop. So just like he told me, money coming, wealth coming, help coming to the body of Christ. I'll write a book on it. Not for money, but for people. I got money, people. They'll be able to read some of this stuff and get themselves delivered because we used to put it on sin. What when a holy poison something happened? You see what I'm saying? We sin, Satan, he behind it, and sin can make you sick. But I've known some righteous people died ahead of time. Love God with all their heart. Don't tell me. I'm not listening. And then there's a term I'm about to use we haven't used. Apostolic fathers. Whoa, that's a new ball game there. Paul was an apostolic father to Timothy. So Timothy was trained higher than the average person who just got a father. You in this school and y'all in churches under the school, y'all have apostolic fathers. Nothing missing. See, that's a great difference in 1 Timothy 1, 2. It talks about Paul being Timothy's father. But he was an apostolic father. So you can go back to all other points I give now. Unfamiliar territory, he taught him about that. You see what I'm saying? He taught him about new possibility. See? Because he wasn't afraid. I tell you what. Just take the norm out of my face. Show it to somebody else. This God that we serve is so big and so powerful and so loving and such a good God. We will never be able to grasp how great he is. And then you're going to struggle? Huh? You're going to struggle? See, the struggle, I never said this before, I want you to grab this. The struggle is a tug to go further. Wow. Not to stop there and complain, but to get direction from God for new possibilities that'll take you from that place to another step. Yeah. I had many opportunities to struggle, but I wouldn't accept them. I go back in my prayer room and praise God and laugh and come back out and don't tell nobody nothing. So they never knew I had it. See, there's certain things you're going to go through. Don't park. You're going through. Yeah, and don't broadcast it. Don't tell people when you're dealing with something. Tell God. Here's the apostolic mantle, the apostolic anointing, the apostolic grace, the apostolic wisdom will lead the church as frontline, cutting edge, battlefield commanders, and pioneers for Christ while preparing the church for a glorious future. What they would do, they put you on the front line, put you on the cutting edge. They're battlefield commanders. If you're going to follow an apostle, you're going to be way out on the edge sometimes. Well, my apostle might know where he's going, but I'm out there with him. Partner, when you attack the chicken, you're on the front line. You might end up with no congregation, boy. But you just got to get out there because, you know, that people have been following me for a long time. And they know when I get a hold of something, I'm coming with it. Actually, what the Lord has revealed to us in the large aspect of the church, what is causing his people to be sick? What is causing them to come to old age, barely can't make it? Another disease. See? There's nothing you cannot pray and eat your way out. Notice I didn't just say pray. Man, I'm telling you, body of Christ, brother. So front line, cutting edge, battlefield commanders, pioneers for Christ. See? In other words, there's some things that God apostolically revealed to the church. If there's not apostles to take the deposit, the church still run in the same circle. A good sounding sermon, a good hoop, a good emotional feeling, but no changes really in their life. Because after you get through shouting, you come back to the same problem. Number 7, I don't know what number you on. They serve as reformers who oppose false doctrine. Why you don't see nobody jump up in my meeting talking about the Lord said? They better make sure the Lord talking to them, because not Leroy going to talk to them. I believe in the gift of the Spirit, but it got to be genuine. It can't be something you practice. So people in my meeting never nervous to worry about nobody messing up. Rhonda been with me. Anybody just jump up in the meeting because they know I got discernment. You see what I'm saying? I've seen these people go around churches practicing. See? And then false doctrine, I'll cut your head off. False doctrine, false, listen to this, false religious structure. Apathy. You know, just patting everything. Lukewarmness. Demonic spiritual government. The apostles come against all that. And false religion. False religious voices. And they say with a passionate spirit. Very important you're listening. You're not going to go forward without knowing that there are going to be false doctrine, going to be false religious structure. They're going to be apathy, they're going to be lukewarmness, they're going to be demonic spiritual government, and they're going to be false religious voices. I'm paying attention to all them people jumping them up to how much money they received because of some water or some stuff like that. They drank some water was poured on them. Don't be sending your money off there for that false stuff. Sow your seed. Do what you need to do. Wait on God. Don't you know the devil can give you some money? But if something come along with it? The apostle deal with spiritual foundation, structure, pattern, design, and building. You got that too? Did I do that too? Huh? I gave you that too? I'm reteaching that lesson. I must have had to reteach it then. Let me give you the wrap up over the same thing I taught for just the third teaching. The word says the church is built on the foundation of the apostle, prophet, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. To build means to construct, assemble, join, mold, form, create, and erect by following a design or blueprint. The foundation that the structure rests upon must be stable and able to withstand the total weight of the building. The Holy Spirit used the ascension gift of an apostle in the ministry of foundation, beginning, and first principle. You got that right?
Yes, sir.
And Paul thought it was the grace of God in his life that enabled him to be a wise master builder. I think that was grand. Yes, I think you'll go a long way with that.
Yes, sir.
We'll begin on next setting, the apostle in the word. In that lesson, we'll study the apostle in the word and the sovereign calling of apostle on the Lord Jesus Christ himself. For a few more minutes, look in 1 Corinthians 12:28. 1 Corinthians 12:28. I want you to familiarize yourself with that verse as well as Ephesians 4:11. And God set some in the church, first apostle. You see that? First apostle. Secondary prophet. Secondarily. Thirdly. Why would the Lord put so much emphasis on this? Now, after that miracle, the gift of healing, help, government, the voice of tongue. The English word first in the scripture above and the Greek word proton, P-R-O-T-O-N, meaning first in time, place, and rank. First in time, place, and rank. The author said, everything above second. Preceding all others in time, order, or importance. See what we're doing now. We're grafting this apostolic mantle or grace. It may be a man or a woman wearing it, but we're not talking about them. We're talking about the government. They're supposed to be first in line because there are certain things that has to be done that a pastor not going to do. Prophet not going to do it. That apostle, he'll do it. Because first of all, he should have enough under his belt spiritually to do it. Been through enough, seen enough, trained enough, and still learning. See, you can't be an apostle if you're still not a student. And some people haven't done nothing. They have arrived already. They want you to bow to them and everything. They made me arrive. I look at some of them just laugh. You know, if you would fully know how God had blessed my ministry and you putting on all these laughs in front of me, but yet you got to go out and catch a commercial flight. I got 2 full-time pilots waiting on me, waiting on my call to see when I won't leave. I might won't leave tonight or tomorrow. See, and that's when that stuff go to your head. When stuff go to your head, you can't be led. So it means first in time, place, and rank, everything above second, proceeding all other than in time, order, or importance in the spirit realm. Why can't we accept that for a general in the army? Naturally. That man got all them bars and stripes and all them things. Why everybody getting up doing this when he come in the room? The chief component or instrument one who arrived before all others. This is the apostolic grace will propel one to go first in all things. He's a pioneer. He's a pathfinder. He's a pace setter. Agent of change. Go in forces that nobody never been before. And set it up and call back for you. Say, come on now, it's ready. Then it said the apostle, and boy, this will make some people mad, the most prominent gift. Yes, sir. That's enough. I've said enough by now. You're talking about the prominent gift. Yes, I've been in the ministry all my life. Now you're going to tell me he's the prominent or she's the prominent gift. The apostle set in the church. You saw it in 1 Corinthians 12:28, right? Set is the Greek word. Let me give you the Greek word because I don't mess with Greek word too much. I just get the definition, but I'll give it to you. T-I-T-H-E-M-I. The Greek word. T-I-T-H. Sounds like tie. E-M-I. Meaning, now hear what the Greek word means, set. Fixed. Established. Ordained, placed, put, appointed. Let me see you move that. Let me go over it again. Let me see you move that. Fixed by God. Set me in that. First, established, ordained. Placed, put, appointed. What you going to do with that? That sounds like it anchored down, didn't it? Yes, sir. The apostle ministry was established by Christ and has never been discontinued. Got it? If there are still evangelists, pastors, and teachers, then there are still apostles. Jesus never removed the apostle from the church. Man did. Slowed the church down. But baby, we're about to catch back up. Amen. Notice this, if the New Testament church is to be effective and successful in making disciples of Jesus Christ and completing the Great Commission, then we must allow the Holy Spirit to set it in divine order. Something happening now in the spirit world. I didn't know what God was doing. He put all the men around me, men of integrity. But he's getting ready for this. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. Everybody agree with that? Yes, who gives us revelation of apostolic ascension gift. And I say it's an ascension gift. We talked about that, right? Those are five ascension gifts, five gifts of grace. Ascension gift along with the understanding of their function, operation, and impact on the local church. Each one got a different function. Each one got a different operation. And each one has an impact on the church. But they must be connected or they're not going to work. I love it. The most prominent gift in the early New Testament church was apostle. In the last day, it'll be the same. Nowhere in the New Testament where you find a pastor pioneering a local church. Their vocation is important to Christ's church and our lives, but they're not pioneers. Go back and read the New Testament and read the epistles and see what happened. Some boys would plant those churches, stay there for a while, point a pastor and leave. Take heed to yourself and all the flock which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer. Feed the church of God. I'm gone. It says apostles are leadership gifts given to the church to equip every believer for the work of the ministry. Be back at Ephesians 4. Set in the church to impart that which is lacking in training and governmental structure. Ephesians 4:12. And governmental structure. It is quite interesting that some religious denominations say that there was only 12 apostles. And that the apostolic ministry ended with John. Last of the 12 apostles of the Lamb died in 101 AD. The very ministry gift that God appointed to be foundational and first in rank had been denied for the past 1900 years as even being in existence. Scripture declared in Psalm 11:3, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Whew. I'll make one more statement and I'll close class. And I may go right over this again in our next session. If apostles are foundational or sanctioned gift, got that? Foundational or sanctioned gift, and are rejected as being existent, then what should a righteous do? The answer is not much. It takes apostolic ascension gift working together with the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher to build and mobilize the local church. Didn't say the apostle can do it by himself, but he said they got to be connected. I can take it right now in Gonzaga. In Gonzaga, they got a chief of police. He's my first cousin. He's the chief of police. Huh? I got another first cousin. He's the only black judge. When you walk in his courtroom, he's the judge. That man over there at the bailiff ain't gonna make no decision. The judge running the courtroom. So why would God organize a church that have such a great assignment and don't have ranks? So now for over 1900 years, we've been suffering. Because this office had been, the NAM been worn. But the NAM been getting in with the rest, you know, trying to be big. But I'm talking about when you don't lack something, but you got to be cut right there so you can see what it is. Once you see what it is, now this man, I got this letter from this man, you can't tell him I'm not an apostle. You can't tell him nothing. The man, well. People who got out of debt, you can't tell them nothing. You talk to my hand. Because if they experience, and I'll say this to you, if you stick with it, y'all in good church, if you stick with it, you will experience it too. Just some of y'all just a little, some of y'all just a little time. That's all. You got everything else. Just a little something might need to be cut. But you stick with it. If you know somebody love you and they want the best for you, this is all I do. I ain't got no time for no side stuff. This is all I do. I'm listening all the time. How can I improve the school? How can I improve the church? How can I improve LTMA? How can I improve the world? That's what it's all about. That's why I come and teach you, and that's why all my instructors was handpicked. All right, Claire. So Son, here's an envelope up here. Go ahead to your next class. I'll see y'all next week. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Praise God.